Good morning. Let's pray. Thanks be to thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits which thou hast given us, for all the pains and insults which thou hast borne for us. O most merciful Redeemer, friend, and brother, may we know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly for thine own sake, in your name and in the worthiness of your completed work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have lost a son, not physically. He's still on this earth. I think I know where, but I'm not sure. I think he's doing well because I just found out from another family member just recently that he's bought his first house and that he actually got married. But there was no housewarming invitation for me, and there was no wedding invitation, even more heartbreaking. It's been 3 years since I've heard his voice or seen his face or hugged his neck. There was some kind of offense, and I don't know what it was, and he will not speak to me that I might make it right. So here I am. I don't know if any of you have been through a similar circumstance like this with one or more of your children, but it's a difficult place to be. Certainly not as difficult as actually losing a child through death. I can't even imagine that. But this is sort of like a death in a way. It's as a parent, I've grieved and mourned the loss of my son and that relationship. And there is an emptiness inside of me that I cannot describe. It feels as if a part of me has been taken from me, and there is a gaping, empty hole in my heart that longs to be filled. Empty is a strange thing. The word empty is most commonly used as an adjective, and it means, there's four definitions, and it means, first of all, having nothing inside or on the surface, holding or containing nothing, like an empty bowl. The second definition is having no occupants, not being used, like an empty building. The third one is having no purpose or result, useless, like empty hours. And then the fourth one, as my circumstance, marked by the absence of human life, an empty chair at the table, an empty voice in the plans for holidays and vacations, and an empty spot in a family photo. Empty is a strange thing. And it's odd how big empty can be. Emptiness is like, it's like nothingness, and yet it can be all-consuming. I'm reading a book, and it's by an author named Nancy Guthrie, and she states it very well. She says, "It is amazing how heavy the weight of emptiness can feel, how much room emptiness can take up in our souls, and how much pain can be caused by something that isn't even there." Empty is a strange thing. It's a haunting thing, but it is a thing. And the Bible says that God created all things, right? John 1:3 says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, "There's but one God, the Father, from whom all things came," right? God created all things, But the word tells us that he also uses all things. That familiar verse in Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? So he uses all things. So if we believe his word in that he created all things and that he uses all things for our good, then what about this thing called empty? You know, this has been really heavy so far, hasn't it? Let's just breathe a minute. When I speak, I usually don't do this. I usually start out with some kind of a joke or some levity, but boy, I just jumped into this, didn't I? I don't know. I usually start out with a joke like, I once had a hen that could count her own eggs. She was a mathema-chicken. What do pastors say to get rid of insects inside their church? Let us pray. All right. Here's what I'm going to do. Just to lighten this up a little bit. I'm going to do this just for you this morning. I am going to channel my inner Julie Andrews from The Sound of Music. Okay? Everybody knows Julie Andrews from The Sound of Music. Okay. This will lighten things up a bit. Okay, I left off with the question, what about this thing called empty, right? Did God create empty? To answer that, we need to go back to the very beginning. Let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. Let's take a good look at Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, 1 and 2. At the start, the very start, God created heaven and earth. The earth was formless, empty, and void, and darkness covered the deep. So, I think I better stop. You guys, you feel a little lighter, or you just freaked out right now? All right, well, did I just sing Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2 in a Julie Andrews voice? Yes, I did. And did I probably just ruin Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2 for you all? I probably did. You're not going to be able to read it again without hearing Julie Andrews. You're welcome. All right, moving on. What Julie just sang was, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless, and here's our adjective, empty. In fact, the New American Standard Translation even adds an additional adjective. It says, and the earth was a formless and desolate emptiness. Desolate, empty? As if empty could get any emptier? Desolate and empty, that's pretty empty. How many of us have felt that kind of empty? I have. In 2005, both of my parents died of cancer. They died within a month and a half of each other. I felt empty. I felt a desolate empty. I was an orphan. I suspect that all of us have experienced some level of emptiness. Maybe you too have lost a parent or someone you love. Maybe it has been the loss of a child or the loss of a relationship, or perhaps the grief and sadness of not being able to conceive a child, or maybe it's a divorce, the loss of a job, or maybe you're retired and you've lost a sense of purpose. Maybe it's the loss of your health or just the frustration of not being able to do what you used to be able to do, or maybe it's just the loss of a dream. And maybe this thing called empty permeates every facet of your life, and you wonder, will this empty ever be filled? What about this thing called empty? Well, God started out in Genesis using it as an adjective to describe the earth. But years later, he uses it as a verb. This was our scripture that was read this morning, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, speaking of Christ. Though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. There's the verb, emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know, it's always difficult to recount what our Savior endured, but I would be remiss in light of this message if I did not pause here to remember Christ's sacrifice. So I want you all to picture with me. I want you to picture him stripped and bound by the wrist to a column in Pilate's court, then whipped and beaten with leather straps containing balls of lead or bone chips. As they pound against his body, beads of blood form and with repeated blows break into open wounds. Then the crown of thorns is pressed into his head and blood mingles with his matted hair. At Calvary, he is stripped of his clothes and then laid on a crossbeam which he carried with his arms outstretched. And then a soldier drives a 5-inch iron nail through each of his wrists, and after being nailed to the crossbeam, he is hoisted up by a rope and dropped into a notch on top of an upright post. His feet are then nailed to the cross. And there, our Redeemer hangs for 3 agonizing hours, desperately trying to hoist himself up to breathe, while excruciating pain shoots through his body with every breath. This was the most unbearable pain a man could experience. Oh, come and mourn with me a while. Oh, come ye to our Savior's side. Oh, come together, let us mourn. Jesus, our Lord, is crucified. How fast his hands and feet are nailed, his blessed tongue with thirst is tied, his failing eyes are blind with blood. Jesus, our Lord, is crucified. His mother cannot reach his face. She stands in helplessness beside. Her heart is martyred with her son. Jesus, our Lord, is crucified. Just 7 times in love he spoke, and all 3 hours his silence cried for mercy on the souls of men. Jesus, our Lord, is crucified. Oh, come and mourn with me a while. Oh, come ye to our Savior's side. Oh, come together, let us mourn. Jesus, our Lord, is crucified. For 3 hours, the Bible tells us that there was darkness over all the land. The word dark in the Greek is the word skotos, and it is used to depict something that is very, very dark. This black darkness, the Bible says, covered all the land. And the word land in the Greek is the word yis, and it refers to the entire world, not just like a small geographical region. This word is the entire world. So I don't know about you, but in the past, whenever I've pictured Golgotha and the hill of Calvary and Jesus and the thieves, I've just pictured like darkness over that region. But according to the Greek, this word emphatically tells us that the whole earth was literally and simultaneously darkened. Huh. Do you remember another time when the earth was dark? When the earth was formless, empty, and dark? Do you remember Julie Andrews? I won't sing. I'm not going to sing again. But let's go back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, right? We said empty was a thing. We said empty was a thing that God created. And we also said empty was a thing that God would use for our good. So the earth was empty. But see, what Miss Andrews didn't finish singing was the second part of the verse, which says, the earth was formless and empty, but the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, right? We saw it in the video. The Spirit of God was hovering. I love that word, hovering. It basically means, in the Hebrew, it means moving. So the Holy Spirit was moving, just hovering over the waters, back and forth, just waiting for the Father to give the word. It's like I can just hear the Holy Spirit going, come on, Father, just give me those three words, let there be, and I'm on it, right? So he's hovering, hovering, hovering. Every time I picture that, I know this is weird, but I think of the movie 42. Have any of you seen that movie, 42? It's the story of Jackie Robinson, who was the first black major league baseball player, who was known for stealing bases. Like, he was a master at stealing bases. So in the movie, I don't know if Jackie actually did this or if it was just the actor, but the actor was phenomenal. But anyway, he would do this with his, like, he was off the base. He'd go off the base, and he'd be doing this with his fingers. And then he'd lead off first base, and then he'd jump back, and then he'd lead off a little bit more. He's doing this with his fingers. Then he'd jump back, and he kept doing that, and it drove pitchers crazy. They say the pitchers were, like, so unnerved by that. But anyway, I know I'm weird. That's what I picture. I picture the Holy Spirit, like, come on, come on, come on. Just pitch it in, and I'll knock it out of the park, right? So the earth was formless and empty, but the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. See, the earth was empty, okay, but it was not without hope. There was hovering. There was movement. There was hope. Please remember that empty does not mean without hope. If you don't remember anything else from this message today, I want you to take away two things. First, a greater appreciation of the real Julie Andrews and not just someone trying to imitate her. Okay, that's first. Second, that empty does not mean without hope. The earth was empty, but the emptiness was not bad, right? It was good because God needed empty. He needed it to be empty so he could fill it, right? You have to start out, think about it. You have to start out with something that's empty to be able to use it and fill it, right? Like an empty cereal bowl is bad. You know, you look at it, it's like, it's empty, it's bad. But it's actually good because then you get to fill it with Cocoa Puffs, right? Or oatmeal if you want a more nutritional choice. But anyway, so empty, he had to fill the earth. It had to be empty for him to be able to fill the earth with all the good things that he had planned for us, just like the video showed. The earth and the sky and the sun and the moon and the plants and the animals and then us. He had to start out with empty to create us. Empty was not an end. Empty was a beginning. Listen to this quote from author Nancy Guthrie. It's so good. I love this. She says, God does his best work with empty. Oh, think about it. God does his best work with empty. Speaking of hope, let's go back to Good Friday. Think about that. God used his beloved's son, his empty, to fill it with all of our sins, all of our disease, all of our pain, all of our heartache. who understands this thing called empty. God the Father, who took an empty earth and filled it with everything that we could ever need. Who understands this thing called empty? The Holy Spirit, who hovered above the emptiness and then through his power moved upon the earth at the Father's word. Who understands this thing called empty? Jesus Christ, our Lord, who in humble obedience emptied himself and was crucified on a cross for us. Surely he has borne all of our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. Oh, I don't know what sort of empty that you are living with, but I assure you that God knows about this thing called empty. I'll leave you with one final scripture and one final thought. Matthew 27, 57 through 60. Now, when evening had come, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Friday, our Lord lay in the tomb, and the disciples wept and felt the emptiness in the absence of their Savior. Saturday, our Lord lay in the tomb, and the Father wept, and he felt the emptiness in the absence of his Son. But on Sunday, there was some hovering. There was some movement. And ultimately, there was hope. Jesus conquered the emptiness. He conquered death and the grave. He is our hope. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us so much and being so gracious to give us exactly what we need at exactly the right moment. Lord, let us hold fast to you even in the midst of our emptiness. Let us hold fast to you, God, believing that you are moving even when we don't feel you moving. And let us hold fast to you, God, trusting in faith that you will take whatever our empty is and you will fill it with hope and peace and something beautiful and something good. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.